I am.
Okay. Now we have to do roll call again, but it should be included in the budget.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Copio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt?
Yes.
Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin?
Yeah, I'm here, sir. I can hear you.
Yes, we have quorum.
It's 12:47, we'll back into regular session. And there are a couple of questions. Let me go through the roll with the board and see where everyone's at. So that's Campbell. I started with you before. Let me go on back to you and your thoughts with Jesse Haggard.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Haggard, can you describe when earlier when you shared with us various services that you provide, consulting, et cetera, specific to consulting, can you tell us in your own words what that looks like?
Yes. I do medical research, and I help create standard operating procedures, train staff on the research of various medical therapies, and create and implement EMRs, and create patient handouts, and create existing procedures for legal compliance. I testified as an expert witness in personal injury case management, and also formulated nutritional supplements. In addition to, with the Low Carb Diabetes Association, I performed the research on the exercise aspect in which they use in order to make the recommendations for fitness evaluations and exercise for the Low Carb Diabetes Association. Also, I have authored 3 books at which they say, or they read Dr. Jesse Haggard as the author. Which, when I see readers,
I feel a reference like Dr. Jesse Haggard as the author. Can you outline exactly what your title entails in the book? Dr. Jesse Haggard, period. Dr. Jesse Haggard, author, et cetera. Can you outline that for us?
Yeah, it says Dr. period Jesse Haggard, and when I had looked at using the doctor title, I found 3 other examples that other doctors that were not licensed to practice were using. Dr. Nicola Antonio, Dr. Greger, Dr. Mercola, all the doctors not licensed and using the designation, and so it seemed like a common practice.
Okay, so you're not using the perfected NMD or ND title?
No.
Okay.
I had it in the title when I was licensed, but I haven't done it since then.
Okay. And respective to the website, your name appears on where, because of your clerical vitality, the staff put up on the website and indicated the, I believe, the NMD abbreviation. Is that something that you could take down for us?
Absolutely.
Now, I guess just to clarify, it's my understanding that your use of the word doctor is wrong, where things is a little complicated by the preceded use of a protected abbreviation of such as NDM and ND and so on. And so, especially when a direct indication of not practicing or unlicensed is not following that outline, where the layperson would have no doubt that you are, in fact, not licensed by the board. And so,
I understand.
Okay. And so that is a question that I have, and perhaps gives a better understanding of where we're at with this. So I think we're all on the same page now. Dr.
Sedgwick,
I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Ms. Tibbetts, do you have questions for Jesse Haggard?
I have no question.
And Ms. Gallon, questions?
No.
Dr. Rubin? Dr. Popeil?
I don't have any additional questions. I think Dr. Campbell stated the use of the abbreviation DR in front of the name is fine, and then not fine if any licensing boards, et cetera, is what we're seeking to be.
Say
that
in your office. No, he did graduate the doctor title, as he stated, as Dr. Campbell or Daphne. He did earn that title via his completion. Where the link or the problem comes in would be we need to look in the internet, would be my thought, and try to expunge, probably would ask you within 90 days if you can expunge the NMD portion, then I don't think we have much more of a complaint with you.
That's fine, I can easily do that well within 90 days.
Okay. Other discussion for Dr. Haggard, for Jesse Haggard? And I think we lost Dr. Rubin. Dr. Rubin,
are
you still there?
I'm here. I was just having problems with my phone.
Oh, okay.
I had said that they had no questions, and then Dr. Campbell has probably had things very
easily. Okay. So I'll make a motion that we dismiss this case, case number 20140, with Jesse Haggard.
Does Dr. Popeil have a second down on here?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popeil?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Jesse. All right, let's move on to case number 20148, and that was Dr. Carol. Carol, is she on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I'll have Ms. Anthony give us the report on her.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, on April 13th, 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between July 1st of 2019 through December 31st of 2019, and the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 25 patients for medical marijuana during that time frame and queried the database only 11 times. On April 14th, respondent was notified of the complaint and asked to respond to the information provided by DHS. In her response to the board dated May 14th, 2020, respondent admitted she did not complete the official database review for 14 patients during the above-mentioned time frame. On July 24th, 2020, board staff subpoenaed a list of patient names respondent certified during that time frame. During that time frame in question, and based on that list, three patient records were subpoenaed. Based on review of the patient records, it appears respondent failed to complete the appropriate requirements for certifying a patient for medical marijuana and failed to keep adequate medical records for patient keep adequate medical records, period. Respondent admitted she failed to complete the required CSPMP database review for 14 patients. On 6/27/2019, respondent certified PR for medical marijuana, citing the medical marijuana certification, attesting she had reviewed the CSPMP report. However, there's no copy available in the medical record. On 7/12/2019, respondent certified DB, signed the certification. There's no report in the medical record. On 7/2/2019, respondent certified DL. Respondent signed the medical marijuana certification, attesting she had reviewed the CSPMP, but there's no available in the record. Respondent may have certified patients for medical marijuana without performing the appropriate physical examination and without having appropriate prior medical records to support the diagnosis for which she certified. Patient DB certified for severe and chronic pain, lumbalgia, IVD, and segmental dysfunction. It appears respondent made this quote assessment based off a diagnosis made by a chiropractor the same day as the visit.
Thank you. Can you give us your thoughts on what you're saying on your case?
Yes, I did not check on the database for those patients. I realize that is an error on my part. And I certainly will not do it again. During that time, I was under severe family stress, and I did not check the patients. I mean, that's not an excuse. I am absolutely aware that I do need to check the database. I do discuss with my patients what they're using, why they're using it, what kind of ramifications they have with their medicine.
That it was a mistake and you didn't do it. I'm just curious how long you've been certifying if you are aware of the requirement and just chose not to? I'm confused. I mean, the law has been in place for a long time.
It's been in place for a long time, and I've been doing medical marijuana certification for a long time. I'm very much aware of it. There's absolutely no excuse for not doing it.
Have you done it in the past, and this was a short period of time when you didn't, or has this always been the case?
Yeah. I'm not sure. My understanding of your question is, have I been doing medical marijuana certification?
No, I have a question, you have a short period of time when you weren't checking it, or have you always been last in checking the
basis? No, it was just during the time. My family member was getting chemotherapy and trying to die, and it was a very difficult time, I was trying to see patients, and I did not take any new patients on. One patient was a new patient. So, I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm very committed to this program, and I feel very strongly that my medical marijuana patients get a proper discussion of their case, a proper discussion of what marijuana does for them, putting the side effects. I spend a lot of time with my patients. That is not the usual practice in this state, which distresses me a bit.
Is that
Cheryl? No, I don't know.
Dr. Rubin?
I'm here. Thank you, Dr. Thamler, Dr. Farrell. Thank you for your testimony, and thanks for making some changes to your practice and the way you adjust the PMP and your honesty and the care that you spend with your patients. At this time, I think these are some of the better charts we've seen in terms of MMJ. Dr. Farrell, they are lacking some ICD-10 codes, which some of the cases that were submitted have chart notes from other physicians, and I don't know if it's kind of tied into the case, but they have ICD-10 codes there. I want to take a look. Otherwise, I don't have any comments or other questions.
Dr. Campbell?
I'm sorry,
Campbell, any thoughts you have?
Dr. Carroll, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Again, thank you for talking to us today and your honesty with respect to this situation. There's a few things that I picked up in your testimony that I just want to, they kind of concern me just a little bit, and I want to talk to you about those so that I have a better understanding, and then also I can give you my feeling and make sure that it's on the record. Earlier we had a photo discussion with another physician, and one of the questions that I had with her is that, when we're filling out the government document that attests that we've taken a series of steps, including checking the database, there's a certain amount of public trust that goes into the process, and given a state on the public's trust for the medical field. And that trust is instilled in you that when you're signing a document or initialing a document, that you are in fact having, you're doing what you're saying that you've done. And so that's a huge issue with me for the trust. Related to the accuracy or inaccuracy of the system, but that does not negate our responsibility to self-check the system. As you know, patients that are, you know, could come to us, and if they have a problem with opioids or narcotics, they essentially become experts in deceiving people to get what they need, or, you know what I mean? And nobody knows that better than a physician. And so what I'm saying is that they may not always be completely upfront with you, and as part of that database check, you may discover something that you wouldn't have normally discovered just through a conversation with your patient, and you would not want to move forward with authorizing some medical marijuana card, and if this was to ever happen, whether or not it was a causation or not, in society today, that would be a big legal issue for you, from a family looking to blame somebody. And so with that, that's all the questions that I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Dr. Popiel.
Now, Dr. Carroll, I agree with Dr. Rubin. These are definitely some of the better chart notes we've seen. Again, the ICD-10 codes are always going to be important and required on the chart notes. Quick question on patient DB. This, you commented this was a recertification, but we do not have any chart notes. Is this somebody else certified her?
No, it was my understanding on the original subpoena, it was for the time frame from July through December. I have seen her for many years, and I know this patient very well.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make sure. We've got three patients here, and there's a representation of the chart notes. I think those are the most important.
Thank you very much,
and I will make a point to include all the ICD codes from today forward. Thank you. And Dr. Kennedy, your thoughts? Any board member that was skipped that we need to get their thoughts? Then I'm going to need a motion. And Dr. Carroll.
Should we have any discussion on that? My perspective is that, this is not one of the, by far, one of the worst cases that we have seen. However, it is, as I said, assessing to doing certain things that are on government documents. I think at a minimum, we need a letter of concern rather than just dismissal, or I'd like to hear other board members' thoughts on that.
Typically, we've done a letter of concern. Dr. Bill, that's what we typically have done. CME, I was looking on the back, she has done CME on foreign cannabis in clinical practice, so she's probably done that. I can hear what you're saying. Let me turn it over to the rest of the board.
Is it feeling better?
Yeah, okay. Can somebody mute themselves, please?
Dr. Carroll, is that your phone?
No, sir, it is not my phone.
Okay. I'm sorry, it just sounded like I didn't know. Sorry.
A public person, or I don't think it's a board member.
I don't think it's a board member either.
Okay. Okay.
It's not Dr. Zola.
Okay. Dr. Stab, let's try to work over that. If not, then we'll have to get a different line. What are your, Dr. Papil and I were discussing, basically a lot of concerns. She's already done seeing me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I agree with Dr. Papil and that, a lot of concerns would be appropriate at this point. In the past of that, why she wasn't able to work. Definitely, I would agree with that.
Okay. Dr. Rubin, what are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are to change lines, because this is incredibly rude and it's interrupting and it's going to be a HIPAA violation on the doctor's part. That said, I do agree with what Dr. Zell.
Okay.
But first, let me talk about patient care.
Yeah, I agree. Let me try to go through this real quick, and then if we need to, we'll have to go to the line. Ms. Gallen, your thoughts?
No. Yeah, I think I don't think there's a big matter.
And Dr.
KMO,
your thoughts?
Yeah.
Where I believe letter of concern, I
want to speak for you. Yes, sir. I concur with that.
Okay. And then Ms. Tippett?
Letter of concern.
Okay. So, Gail, while we have a little bit of quiet in the background, can you go ahead and do, take a roll on it?
I can. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tippett?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin? Motion carries.
Welcome to CenturyLink Conferencing. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. Hear the tone, you will be the 10th person to join the meeting.
You have to hang up and call back because somebody has their lines with them.
Hi, Gail. Let's call him Diesel. Can you hear me?
I'm already back.
Hey, Gail, did we still have that inconsiderate person babbling in the background?
Yes, Dr. Hendrick or Dr. Joyce is one of the two physicians upcoming, I think.
Hi, this is Gail Jackson. That background is definitely not for me. Hi, it's Holly Deacon.
Holly, yes. Okay, were you, can you mute your phone until it's time to... Yes, Holly, can you just mute your phone, please, for the moment?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Holly,
are you on the line?
Okay, can you please mute your phone?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Gail or Sarah and Gail, can we move to the death team to stop, or should we move to the executive session line?
No.
I suggest I don't know if it's possible if these narrow it down to two people to try calling their offices and telling them that they need to move on.
No, did you guys catch any information that it might be Dr. Hendricks or?
Okay.
We've been muted. There's no one here.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Dr. Hendricks. Dr. Drobot, are you on the line?
Yeah,
okay, thank you. So it could be Ashton Joyce. Ashton, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm not you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, and I suspect it might be a member of the public, perhaps.
Is that coming from West's office?
I'm on mute.
Dr. West, are you muted?
Yes. Is there a way to perhaps just go through the roll call if you want to interview one person to respond?
That's an idea. Do you want to do that now?
The more members.
Okay, let's roll on and see if we can get through without having to move to the line. Case number 2141, Dr. Jeff Devoe. And Gail, can you give us a synopsis on him?
Board members, at the May 14th, 2020, the board reviewed, meaning the board reviewed the information, determined it would be appropriate to see additional charting regarding respondents, Arizona patients over the next few months to see if there was actual improvement in charting. The board voted to continue the case for 90 days for further investigation, giving board staff the ability to obtain four additional charts for board review. And the following information was submitted to the board along with the charting.
Hello? You there, Gail?
I am.
Okay.
I have to stuff on the table.
Yeah, I think we did it a lot, Gail. Just say it. They just sort of focus with the background on it. Gail, do you have any other lines besides the interception?
No, we do not, and it's not appropriate to move lines because this is the number that's been posted on the agenda, so I would fear that we'd be in violation of open meeting law if we did that.
Okay.
Dr. Sadlick, would you like to take a 10-minute break?
Log off the
line perhaps and then return.
He was on the line. I guess he forgot to turn the phone off.
Gail,
this is Dr. Rubin. May I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
Number one, you've got a very echoey to where you sound like you're in a giant tube, but I would suggest that whenever you log out, you stay on and shout into your phone to try and get the person to hear through their speaker. I'm happy to be the one to shout because I'm so aggravated. So I'm going to suggest do it unless you want to do it.
Okay.